6:43. It's the first time ever demonstrated in the U.S., a new Michigan State University study showing that gene editing using new technology can be effective in rhesus monkey embryos, which now opens the door for pursuing gene editing in non-human primates as models for new therapies. Keith Latham, leading the study, MSU animal science professor in the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. Keith, great to have you on WILS.
Hello. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, this is quite a development. How is it this is the first time in the U.S. that this kind of study has actually been accomplished?
Well, the technology really emerged about 40 years ago in a variety of different animal and plant species. It's been used quite a bit. It's been used for the last several years in China, primarily, where they have a much bigger operation for working with non-human primates. In this country, you know, the opportunities and capacities for working with these non-human primate models is much more restricted.
In terms of what, legally, you mean? Or?
No, it's just in terms of number of animals, availability, cost, those issues.
Now, what exactly is gene editing? What does that involve?
So this is a new technology using a little trick that bacteria use to protect themselves from viral pathogens. The same sort of bacterial enzyme and some other little molecular reagents that can be put into mammalian cells or plant cells or animal cells, really, can go in, and there's little guides that use to direct this enzyme that cuts DNA.
Okay. We're doing this with what? With mice genes? Are we doing that currently?
It's being done in all kinds of animals, mice, fish. It's being done in plants. It's being done in lots of different things.
And what's the significance now of doing this with these primate genes?
So a lot of work's been done in mice, as you mentioned, and mice have historically been very powerful models for learning about biology and disease, modeling human health, human disease. The main thing with non-human primates is there are genes, for example, that primates have that mice don't have. Mm-hmm. The physiology, the anatomy of primates is much more like our own. As compared to rodents, reproductive biology, how drugs get metabolized, all kinds of things are much more similar in non-human primates to the human as compared to rodent models. So for some things, it's important to have a non-human primate model if you want to really be able to develop a new therapy, this kind of thing.
Like what kinds of diseases do you think it's going to really help us investigate?
Well, so you can imagine things like, for example, one example is most vertebrates don't have a fetal hemoglobin gene, right? So primates do. So if you want to study ways to use fetal globin to cure blood diseases, hemoglobin diseases, you would benefit from having a primate model. You can also think about brain diseases, behavioral disorders, things like this, where you could benefit from a model that has a little bit more complex behavior to study, so you can look at side effects and things like that.
Now, what about the amount of time it takes for these primates to mature? How's that going to affect the research being done on them?
Well, this is one of the sort of real advantages of this technology. Normally, it takes 4 to 6 years to get one of these animals to maturity, but with this technology, you can achieve multiple mutant embryos in a single generation. You could even achieve knocking out both copies of a gene in the embryo itself. So you can actually get animals right away that you can study without having to wait for multiple generations of breeding. So it can both reduce the number of animals needed for a study, but also accelerate the study.
And now, are there any kinds of restrictions in the U.S. in doing this genetic research on primates?
I wouldn't say restrictions so much, just there's a lot of awareness and a lot of interest in both the researchers and funding agencies to really ensure proper care, proper ethical treatment of the animals. These animals are very well cared for, this kind of thing. Everyone's really interested in keeping close tabs on the animals and making sure that, you know, everything is done.
And how much of this research is being done at MSU specifically?
So this project, the collaborator with me on this is up the California National Primate Center. We don't have primates here at MSU, so my laboratory took care of a lot of the analysis side of the project, and a lot of the all the primate work was actually done at the California National Primate Center.
Okay, and so what's next then? How soon do you imagine this technology actually being used for the research?
Other people around the country are working on it. Other people in some of the other primate centers are working on it. I think the big hurdles to get over right now are related to just making the whole gene editing work more efficiently, make it work in a more controlled manner, and then working out some of the other technical details related to generating animals for study.
Now, you said China has been doing this for a while. Are they way ahead of us in this kind of genetic research?
I would say yes. They have produced a number of mutant monkey models in recent years. They have a lot more resources to work with for this kind of work. They have a lot more animals to work with for this kind of work.
Have they gotten any particular results that have really helped us out? Or?
Yeah, I would say so. There's some animals that have been born, and some interesting phenotypic characteristics of those mutant animals have been published for over the last 3 years or so.
Keith Latham, MSU Animal Science Professor in the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. This is the first time this study he's led. The first time it's been demonstrated in the U.S. Really groundbreaking work. Keith, great to have you on WILS. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep.